And a very good Tuesday evening as we are live from Jack's Goal Line Stand in the West End. I want to thank you for joining us here as we do each and every Tuesday night from 7 to 8 o'clock on the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show. We welcome you in after a convincing win for Monmouth on a Saturday afternoon up in Manhattan, knocking off Columbia by a score of 37-14. Tell you about the show tonight as our normal format goes. A couple of players coming on. We will speak things over on the offensive side of the football with senior wide receiver Thaddeus Richards, who had a big game for Monmouth, scored his first ever touchdown for the Hawks in that win over Columbia, and Darnell Leslie, sophomore defensive end, who was absolutely terrorizing in terms of backfield performance, getting sacks and really wreaking havoc during the course of the game against Columbia. Joe Walton, the Robert Morris head football coach, as the Hawks are returning home this Saturday afternoon to take on the Colonials and renew their rivalry for what will be the 19th time the two schools have matched up. Coach Walton will call us towards the end part of the show. As I say good evening to the man to my right, the head coach of the Hawks, Kevin Callahan. Coach, a good, solid win for Monmouth and back-to-back performances. Holy Cross a couple weeks ago and Columbia 37-14. And as we talked after the game, I thought overall it was Monmouth's most complete game of the season to date.
I have to agree with you, Matt. I really like the way that, you know, our offense and defense complemented each other throughout the game. We were able to get some good stops on defense, and the offense was, in turn, was able to convert those stops into points. And anytime you're playing football like that and you have special teams that come up with some big plays, you're going to put yourself in good position to win. I thought we saw great plays on both sides of the ball. We were able to string together two consecutive wins, and we're looking to get number three this week.
10-7 first quarter for Monmouth. And, you know, that was probably the one area that early on there was a bit of, not lazy, but lackluster play. It didn't seem, the team didn't have maybe to have the same zip. Even on both sides of the football, it certainly got better and continued all the way through. But that first quarter was maybe a little bit of a slower start than you would have liked.
Well, I'd even say it went as far as the first half. And one of the things that we spoke to the team about during halftime was that we have to be on the attack a little bit more. I thought that on the defensive side of the ball, we were absorbing blocks and absorbing contact rather than delivering contact. And offensively, we squandered some opportunities with terrific field position where we came away with not as many points as we should have gotten, or we came away with no points.
Yeah, you think about the way that the game went overall, 13-7 at the half, and really you in a way kind of let Columbia kind of stay in it even longer than you maybe would have liked or anticipated. By credit them, you know, their play of kind of hanging around and making plays when they needed to. But I would agree it was probably more of Monmouth's just lack of execution at certain times in the first half.
That's true. And as I said, you know, I was happy to see that, you know, we kind of got things back on track. The third quarter, Columbia actually made the score 20-14. And then we were able to come right back down, get a score, followed up by another turnover and yet another touchdown, and really put the game away. But, you know, I think that's part of the process that this team is going through. You know, I think we learned how to compete and play a full game back at Lehigh. We were able to learn how to get our first win at Holy Cross. And in Columbia, we learned how to put a team away. We've got to continue to make some progress. We certainly weren't perfect, but I was very happy with the overall performance.
Isn't it a little bit different from where we were even a couple weeks ago when you think we're criticizing and critiquing a 23-point win in a whole different fashion? You know, you think how just quick things can turn around. You wind up winning the game 23, and we both agree that it was the team's best performance, but yet we are here kind of saying could have done better in the first half, could have put some more points on the board and actually put the game away earlier than you did.
Well, I really believe that there's no such thing as a perfect game, but I thought last Saturday was a complete game for us. And you know, as coaches and players, you know, we strive to get that perfect game where we're doing everything right. And one of the themes this week and one of the things that I spoke to the team about on Sunday and then again today after practice was, you know, getting ourselves ready to go execute and do everything right from the very beginning. If we do that and bring the same physical style of play that we have each of the last every game this season, we'll be in good shape.
At the end of the game, the way the statistics had broken down, it was one over 100 and one under 100, but there was a correction that was made. So for the third consecutive week, Julian Hayes and KB Asante actually running over 100 yards. And I know, you know, that's been kind of that's been the crux of the offense the last couple weeks, is being able to run the football. And again, to me, in the second half, just like we saw against Lehigh, even in a loss, and against Holy Cross in the second half, that big offensive line basically just, oh boy, maybe we should go off the air with what just walked in the door before things get,
Well, this is a first with Dekos in the house.
Before things get even a little bit stranger. If we have an interruption in programming, it's because we just had an earthquake walk through the door. But we'll make sure that we're okay. Coach, that big offensive line, in the second half at least, it has really just worn opponents down the last 3 weeks.
Well, it has, Matt, and it's a combination of the offensive line, but certainly the play of our two running backs, KB Asante and Julian Hayes. When we can keep that position fresh and be able to alternate those guys in throughout the game, where we're always sending a fresh, energized running back at them behind our line, it's very difficult on opposing defenses. When you combine that with what we've done on defense the last 2 weeks by allowing our opponents to only convert, I think, 15% of their third down opportunities, 0% in the Columbia game, we're getting ourselves off the field. We're giving the ball back to our offense. The offense is going out. They're able to pound away once we get the lead. And it's very difficult if you're on defense.
And you can certainly tell, at least on the offensive side, before we switch gears to the defense in our recap of this win over Columbia, again, similar to the Holy Cross game, the time of possession was so in favor of Monmouth. I mean, almost 40 minutes to 20 minutes. And, you know, unless you're playing, I guess, Oregon or the Philadelphia Eagles, where the team just gets the ball and works it down the field so quick, most cases, if you have the ball that much more than the other team, you're going to be in pretty good shape to win the football game.
You are, and time of possession is very important, a very important stat when you look at the results of the games, and being able to maintain possession of the ball, as long as those possessions result in scores, you're going to put yourself in good shape, because every minute that we have the ball, it's a minute that the opposing offense does not have the ball and cannot generate their own scoring opportunities.
Seemed like early on, at least, the game plan for Columbia was to make Monmouth throw the football. I mean, they had packed a lot of guys in the box, 7, 8 guys, bringing safeties up pretty hard, where the run game kind of got on track late second quarter and then all the way through the second half. Would you anticipate that that's what you're going to kind of continue to see from teams, almost in a way say, go ahead and throw the football, we're going to stop your running game first?
Well, if you're looking at the Monmouth offense, certainly over the last 3 weeks, you're looking at the rushing statistics and how we've been able to run the ball on people and maintain possession of the football. If you're a defensive coordinator, you've got to look at it and say, we've got to take that away. We've got to stop the run, force them into a pass situation, and then we'll take our chances from there. What the run game has done for us, on the other hand, is it's opened up opportunities in the pass game, and I think it will continue to open up opportunities as we move forward.
Brandon Hill, 18 of 38 for 219 yards, did have a touchdown pass to Lamar Davenport, and did spread the ball around really well. You know, the weeks prior, it was basically Neil Sterling was kind of the target. He had that big game a couple weeks back, but 8 different guys caught the football. Sterling did have 5 catches to lead the team. Thought Zach Fable had a really nice game, 4 catches for 49 yards, continuing to fill in very well and look more comfortable for Mike McLafferty, who continues to struggle with an ankle injury. And Lamar Davenport made another great catch. But, you know, the one thing I think everyone's been somewhat critical at times of Brandon's play up until this point of the season, but for the last 2 weeks, he's kind of done what you guys have asked him to, which is limit your mistakes, didn't throw an interception again this past week, and at least in the case of this past week, really did spread the football around pretty well.
He did, and Matt, that's so much easier to do when you have the ability to run the ball the way we have in each of these last two games. There's certainly less pressure on a quarterback, but I think the other thing that you've got to consider as well is that Brandon's getting much more comfortable within our offense. He's getting much more comfortable with the other players on the offensive unit, and now he's settling into his comfort zone, and I really think we're seeing a much more solid performance out of him. Not that we were unhappy with him before, I just think he was somewhat inconsistent, and what we've seen the last 2 weeks is a very consistent performance by Brandon Hill.
Now, overall for Monmouth, 461 yards of total offense, again, 274 on the ground, and I'm sorry, 242 on the ground and 219 through the air. A couple of numbers just to throw out. on in terms of areas to maybe improve? And I know that's what always, even in wins, coaches are looking for. And as we kind of said before, sometimes when you win quite handily, you can almost pick things apart a little bit more. Three sacks, which for a veteran offensive line, I'm sure was a bit too much for them to kind of look at, right?
Correct. And that's an area that as we get as we move forward into the schedule, we're going to see some high pressure teams, one being this week. We've got to do a really solid job in our pass protection. And I think for the most part, we've done a pretty good job there, although we did give up the three sacks on Saturday. I think also, too, we want to be able to finish drives on offense. When we get in the red zone, we've got to come away with touchdowns. We don't want to always have to rely on Eric Splain and kicking the field goal. And I think defensively, although we've done a better job in the last two games, we've got to continue to emphasize not giving up the big play.
Well, let's talk. You mentioned Spillane, who had a good overall day. 3 of 4, missed from 39, but did hit from 46, 36, and 29. And even though you're getting points when he's out there, finishing drives is one, but that was going to lead me into something else. You don't want to keep sending him out to punt the football seven times. It goes back to your point of sustaining drives and at least getting yourself into a position to put points on the board.
Offensively, we need to do a little bit better job on third down than we are right now. Our goal is to be over 40%, and right now we're in the mid-30s in terms of our third down conversion, so that's certainly an area where we can improve. I think sometimes we do an excellent job on third down, and we're just a little bit inconsistent there right now, and that's an execution thing, and I think our players realize that, and that will be something that we improve upon moving forward.
Well, let's talk about the defense before we take a break. School record of 3 forced fumbles, 6 sacks on the day of Trevor McDonough, the quarterback for Columbia. Pat O'Hara, senior defensive end, named to the College Sports Performance Award. Honorable mention, defensive line. His number is great. 5 tackles, 2 sacks, 3 forced fumbles, and a fumble recovery. And Darnell Leslie, who we'll talk about with his statistics as we bring him on the show a bit later on. Those two guys absolutely wreaked havoc all day long, one from one end and one on the other.
They made it very difficult for the Columbia quarterback to really develop any rhythm or become consistent in what he was doing. You know, I think early on we did a pretty good job with our front seven overall of taking the runaway. We put Columbia into situations where they had to throw the ball, and we were just able to lay back and go after them. And I think when we have Pat O'Hara coming off one end and Darnell coming off the other, that poses a problem for offensive lines.
You talked about the opposing defenses that we, being Monmouth, will see in the coming weeks. You're kind of getting that reputation a little bit, certainly in the last couple weeks and last week for sure, of being a team that bringing pressure will be something that the other team will now have to kind of keep an eye on.
It will, Matt. And one of the great things about last Saturday's game at Columbia is we were able to generate most all of that pressure without blitzing. That was pressure that was put on the quarterback by the front four and by those four guys getting up the field. And anytime you can do that and apply pressure to the quarterback and generate as many sacks as we did without going into blitz and man coverage, you're going to be in a good spot.
I would have to think, too, Coach, looking at the back four, where there's been a lot of guys who have kind of worked themselves into the rotation, but the two mainstays for the entire season have been the guys on the corner. And let's talk about both of those guys before we wrap up this segment. Tevin Brandon, who admittedly had struggled for a couple of weeks, the last 2 weeks has looked very good, and I think it's almost like he's gotten his, I'll say swag for lack of a better word, he's kind of gotten his feel back for the game, which he had lost for a couple of weeks.
He has. You know, he started off great and had good games at Montana State and, you know, slipped a little bit at Liberty and then slipped a little bit at Lehigh, and it was just a matter of focus with Tev. It's something that we talked about. It was something that he recognized where he wasn't very disciplined with his eyes. His eyes weren't in the right places all the time. He wasn't looking where he needed to be looked, and it was all out of an effort to make plays. And, you know, although we want guys to want to make plays, he's in that position, you've got to be so disciplined and so right on in everything that you do. And, you know, once Tev was able to look at the video and see what he was doing, he recognized it right away and said, I've got to be more disciplined with my eyes. And I think in the last 2 weeks, you've seen him do just that.
And we had him on the show, so fortunately they didn't have a kind of coach's show jinx on him. Joe Johnson, I feel like, has been unbelievable, and you can certainly throw another word in there, unbelievably consistent during the course of the whole five games, and a guy to me that just all of a sudden this year looks like he's not a freshman anymore, number one, which he's not.
He's not.
But just looks so comfortable back there.
He's taken a big step in terms of his development. Last year he was thrown into games. He actually started three games as a true freshman. Quite honestly, probably wasn't exactly ready for those starting opportunities. But, you know, and he kind of learned on the job, and I think he became a little bit better in spring practice, had a terrific fall, and I think working with Tevron has helped him out an awful lot as well. I think Tevron is very close to Joe and is imparting some advice and some wisdom that the elder statesman should, and I think you're seeing Joe absorb that, and it's reflected in his play.
Mama 2-3 after five games, back-to-back wins over Holy Cross and Columbia. The next several weeks we'll have kind of an old-fashioned NEC flair to it, with Cornell being the lone non-NEC team on the schedule on the 19th of October. But old foe Robert Morris will come to town as Monmouth returning home on Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock. Tickets available. Invite you to go onto the school's website at GoMUHawks.com for all the ticket information. Robert Morris will come into Saturday's game at 2-2. We'll save that for a bit later on. Take a timeout here. When we come back, we'll bring on senior wide receiver Thaddeus Richards to talk about the team's performance up until this point. We'll take a two-minute break. You're listening to the Kevin Callahan Mama Football Show live here from Jack's Goal Line Stand in the West End on the Shore Sports Network. Fresh off a 37-24 victory up in the city a week ago, Monmouth heading back home this week, 2-3 overall through the first five games of the year. Back here from Jack's Goal Line Stand in the West End. Swing on by, catch the rest of the show from our spot in the back room here. If not, you can certainly come by Jack's at any point, and obviously follow us on 1160, 1310 AM, ShoreSportsNetwork.com. Download the Radio Pup app, and you can listen on your mobile device as well. So a good game for Monmouth overall offensively. You mentioned eight guys caught the football during the course of the day. One catch for this guy, senior wide receiver Thaddeus Richards, but boy, was it a big one. And as we welcome Thad on the show, the native of Columbus, New Jersey, from Northern Burlington High School, you know, I thought I'm going to save kind of the special play because I thought you had two great ones during the day. Let's talk about that catch. I actually rewatched it on the highlight during the course of the week. Not only did you catch the football, I was shocked at the time that you hung on to the ball because you got hit pretty good and then hit the turf right after that. Take us through that play.
Yeah, it was kind of it was a vertical. I was running a vertical. I got pressed, and I saw Brandon rolling out my way, so I kind of stopped to come back to him. And then the DB stopped with me, and I saw Brandon pump, and I decided to just go because the DB's his eyes were looking at Brandon, so I just went. And Brandon saw me, and I went up for the ball, and the DB still made a great play. The safety actually came over and undercut my legs. And at that moment, I didn't know where I was going to fall and how I was going to fall. I just made sure I secured the ball.
When you think about it, you know, that your position that you play, obviously wide receiver, there are times like that that you probably either go across the middle or, in that case, go high in the air to catch the football. You know that you're going to take a shot. Now, it's kind of a one of those two-pronged things. Number one, you want to make sure you hold on to the ball. You know you're going to get hit anyway. So if you drop the football and get hit, it's kind of like, why even bother doing it?
Exactly. That's what my dad always told me growing up and playing receiver. He said, you're going to get hit anyway, so you might as well catch the ball while you're doing it.
Now, I think you got an interesting story. You know, you come to Monmouth. You didn't play as a true freshman. Kind of worked your way onto the field a little bit as a sophomore. Last year saw time, had 10 catches overall. And this year you've emerged as more of a role player within the offense. You know, you've kind of found your mark. Is it one of those situations that it just takes sometimes that amount of time for you and the coaches to kind of figure out how they can use you on the field a little bit more?
Yeah, I think so. I think also it speaks testaments to our receiver depth. We have great receivers with Neil and Lamar, and the list goes on and on down the whole list of receivers. But I think with me personally, it's just about me finding my groove and where I fit best in the offense, whether I was an outside, a slot, where just figuring out the college game specifically and being able to make plays.
Well, you know, one of the things that, you know, as a coaching staff, you know, we knew that Thad had a great deal of talent, and we're kind of waiting and anticipating the day when he would kind of create his own niche within our offense. And it was certainly, we started seeing glimpses of that a little bit last year, but we really started to see it in spring practice. And then as we got into preseason, we could tell that Thad was really coming into his own. He was very consistent. He was making plays just as he is now during the season. He seems to always come up with that clutch catch and on a third down to give us the third down conversion or whatever. And he's doing a terrific job with that. And that's while contributing heavily on special teams. He's on our kick cover team. He's on our punt team. He's on our punt block team. So we're using him in a lot of different ways in addition to what he does as a receiver.
Thad, do you feel like, you know, you talk about that depth in the wide receiver positions with names like Sterling and Davenport and Sumlin and yourself and some of the other guys as well. Do you feel like that, I mean, not only is it a position of strength, which it certainly is, but do you feel like all of you guys do something a little bit different than the other, which makes it pretty difficult to defend?
Oh, yeah, I think that that's the biggest thing about us. When you prepare for Monmouth, you have to prepare for a different type of receiver from one to as many play. Every one of us brings something different to the table, whether it's Neil's size, Lamar's like hands, his route running, and then Eric's speed, and then just me being where I need to be when I need to be there.
Don't be humble. tell me what you do well. If you look at yourself,
if I look at myself, I like to think I'm the smartest player on the field at all times. I like to think that where I'm at is going to be where I need to be, and what I need to do, I'm going to get done whatever I need to do when it needs to be done. And that's the thing I've been taught since I was young: responsibility and being accountable for yourself.
Well, I can second that, and I know our entire offensive staff seconds that as well, that, you know, Thad is a very intelligent football player. He's a very intelligent student academically, and we'll talk about that in a little bit maybe, but he understands the game. He is very conceptual. He knows where he's supposed to fit in, where he's supposed to be, as Thad said, and he's reliable. Our quarterbacks know he's going to be there. He's going to run the right route. He is going to be in the right position all the time, and I think that's something that Brandon is learning now. He's only worked with that a short time, being that he only started with us in preseason, but he's learning that is going to be the dependable guy that's going to do exactly what he's supposed to do on every play.
We've had a couple of the guys on the show this year, Neil for one, talking about that relationship that has to develop between receiver and quarterback, tight end and quarterback, whoever he's going to be throwing the football to. And with a new quarterback this year in Brandon, probably not seeming so new anymore, after five games, do you guys kind of have it all figured out? And I say you guys, meaning does he know where you guys are going to be, and do you know where he's going to throw the football yet, or is it still a bit of a work in progress?
I mean, I would say that we've got it figured out to an extent. I wouldn't go as far as saying we've got it all figured out, because I think we still have a lot of room to grow as a receiving core and him as a quarterback in our relationship. Therefore, I really think that the ceiling is a lot higher than people have seen. We haven't played nearly our best game as receivers or him as a quarterback, because we see it in practice, his potential, and we're still working on our chemistry from day to day, and we're going to get better.
Let's go back to what Coach had talked about, the academic side of things. Wisely, here at Monmouth, you are a communication major, which
yes,
I certainly support wholeheartedly. And, you know, the importance of academics goes all the way back to high school. I know you were an all-academic guy on the football side of things in high school. The last 2 years, you were part of the all-NEC academic honor roll. So talk about how a student athlete balances that out, where academics are that important, but now you got yourself in this role where you think, like, I better start paying attention to what I'm doing on the football field a little bit more, but I can't let this lack over here.
Yeah, I mean, it's not easy at all. No matter what I say and how I say it, the fact is it's just not easy managing school and school and football. And I think I had a tough time kind of dealing with that my freshman year, kind of just managing both the stresses on me. But as I've grown mentally, physically, emotionally, I think that it's just all about time management, knowing what needs to get done and doing it when it needs to get done, not pushing something to tomorrow, rather doing it the night before it needs to be done, so you can worry about football on the weekend and stuff like that.
Thad, yeah, I think you're being a little modest here and maybe underselling yourself a little bit. What's your GPA, Thad?
3.8.
And how many semesters have you been on the dean's list?
Every semester.
Every semester that he's been here. And how long is it going to take you to graduate?
It took me 3 years.
3 years to graduate. So I think you've figured it all out. I think you've got that time management thing down that you're worried about, and those stresses that you're speaking about, I think you've conquered that.
Yeah.
I say this with somewhat tongue in cheek, but in today's day and age, Dad, where so much attention is on the college athlete in terms of what you're doing on the field, and I think Coach kind of just referenced it, are you almost embarrassed in a way of how good you have performed in the classroom? Like, you kind of have to keep it in check a little bit because you don't want to be the smart guy on the field all the time?
I wouldn't say necessarily that. I definitely am grateful for what I'd say I like to think of myself as humble as far as the classroom goes. I don't necessarily like to talk about what I do in the classroom or the field, unless it's brought up. And then I'll talk about what I do. But I'm never one to bring up my accomplishments or anything like that. I'm really just get what needs to get done. If I say something, I'm not doing it for attention. I'm doing it just to get it done because I have my mind set on it and I want to get it done.
Humble and wide receiver usually don't go together very well, but it's nice to hear it kind of work together here. Thaddeus Richards giving us a couple minutes here on the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show. Let's get back to some numbers, Dad. Last year, you finished with 10 catches. This year, you already have 10 catches, 154 yards. You've got a great catch per average of over 15. So, again, it goes into you finding your role within the offense and the quarterback now probably trusting you to catch the football when he throws it to you. Have you been happy with yourself, with what you've done so far this season?
Yeah, I'd say I'm happy with myself. I've done everything to my best ability, but I still feel like, as I said before, that I haven't played my best game of the season yet, and I will continue to grow. That's the one thing. I'm learning from each game. I'm trying to get better, so at the end of the year I can really say I put together a full body of work this season.
You know, just to speak to, as Thad mentioned before, he sees himself as being accountable and dependable. And, you know, on our kickoff cover team, Thad plays in the 10 spot, and that's a spot. And when we kick it to where the 1 spot is, and he's always on the backside. And I would say, quite honestly, probably not all that often involved in the return because he's on the backside of things. But the one time that the ball breaks to the backside, that guy has to be there. That happened in the Holy Cross game. And don't you know, Thad was right where he had to be to make the tackle. And I think that talks about, that speaks to Thad's play overall as a football player. You know, not only is he contributing on a number of special teams, but he is Mr. Dependable. He's accountable. He works extremely hard to get the most out of his ability on every play.
Probably, you know, of your numbers so far this year, the 10 catches are great. The 154 yards are great. I'm saving the best for the last. The one carry that you have that took place over the course of last week, a 6-yard carry, big deal. Well, big deal because not only did you carry it for 6 yards, you got 6 points on the scoreboard and your first collegiate career touchdown, which we give you a lot of congratulations for. And it was a play that Monmouth had used already this season in a 2-point conversion to Eric Sumlin. So I want to know what you had to do to tell Scott Van Zyl, the next time we run this, I want it. Don't give it to anybody else.
I think it was kind of luck of the draw there because me and Eric rotate so much in the slot that it was kind of just – he knows both of us can run that. And both of us – I mean, the way it was executed on the field, and pretty much anybody could have ran that one, and it was beautifully executed. And I could really just walk into the end zone.
One carry, one touchdown. Yeah, sounds like Coach Dorsett, but maybe give you a few more touches in there.
I'm kind of wondering what KB and Julian say after that. Like, why are you giving the wide receivers our touchdowns down inside the red zone, inside the 10-yard line?
Yep.
But actually running the football was something that you were kind of accustomed to doing in high school a little bit, right?
Yep. In high school, our offense wasn't really based around the pass that much. We'd probably throw the ball at tops 10 times a game. So our head coach would utilize me in the running game a lot. And I want to say I had 5 rushing touchdowns my senior year of high school.
Let's see. This says 4, so
4.
If you want to say 5, I won't tell anybody else after tonight, but that's okay. But that's okay. All of a sudden, the modesty just went out the window.
Getting a little swag now. We're talking about touchdowns.
So tell me how important it is as we wrap it up for you and let you go back before Darnell eats everything that's over there and you have a chance to get it at all. The last 2 weeks, the last 2 wins, which have obviously been pretty good, you know, convincing I say convincing 21-14, even though the score wouldn't indicate that against Holy Cross, and then kind of a whooping a little bit on Columbia. Tell me about the mindset of the team now coming back home and taking on Robert Morris on Saturday.
I think it was great for us emotionally. I mean, the first game against Holy Cross, we felt we played great, but the end of the game really, it left a sour taste in our mouth. And then coming out a little bit slower against Columbia, that didn't sit well with us either. And then finally putting it all together and finishing the game the way we know we can play at all times really gave us sort of a confidence boost moving forward, where we know we can play and beat any team on the rest of our schedule.
Thad, a pleasure to have you on the show. I was telling Coach before you popped on, I've had you in class a couple times. You're a pleasure there, so I wasn't expecting anything less out of you on the interview tonight. Continued success in the classroom, on the field. Keep the win streak going. Like to be talking about three in a row next week when we're here on Tuesday.
Yep, thanks for having me.
Great job, Thad.
That's Thaddeus Richard, senior wide receiver from Columbus, New Jersey. We step out. When we come back, we'll talk the defensive side of the football a little bit with sophomore defensive end Darnell Leslie. All after this two-minute timeout, you're listening to the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show on the Shore Sports Network. Back here from Jack's Goal Line Stand in the West End, the spot for the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show each and every Tuesday night during the season from 7 to 8 o'clock here on 1160, 1310 a.m., shoresportsnetwork.com. As we continue to roll along here, still to come, right around 7:45, we'll talk things over with Colonial head coach Joe Walton, the longtime Robert Morris head man who's stepping down after this season, has already announced his retirement, actually did so last year. Looking forward to talking with Coach about this week's upcoming game. Defensively, Monmouth has been on quite of a tear. 25 carries, 55 yards. That was the stat from 2 weeks ago against Holy Cross. This past week, how about 6 sacks overall? And a big reason why, our second guest on the show, sophomore defensive end Darnell Leslie from Maryland, who had his first 2 collegiate sacks, an interception, and a fumble recovery. Pretty good day for you there, young man. Welcome to the show. How are you tonight?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing really good. So before we talk about anything that happened on Saturday or this season, I had to listen to a lot of people last year talk about this guy who's playing on the scout team, probably going to redshirt unless everything just kind of falls apart, who nobody could block. And I mean, when I talked to offensive linemen, I talked to coaches, I talked to other players, they said this guy is going to be something to keep an eye on in the years to come. So you had a lot of high praise, but it was probably pretty difficult for you after such a great career where you went to high school down in Maryland of not playing last year. How was that adjustment getting into college this 2 years ago?
It was a little rough, you know. I was used to just going out to practice and doing what I have to do, but then I came up here and it was a lot harder, actually. It wasn't a little harder. It was a lot harder, you know, having to go against guys that are 6'5", 340, you know, not the typical tackle size that I went against in high school. So it was a little frustrating just getting beat up every day in practice, but it paid off in the long run.
Well, when you say beat up, and Coach, I'll let you hop in here because, you know, to get your take on it too. I mean, I heard such good things about him from playing on the scout team and in practice, where if he was playing against the bigger bodies, it didn't show from what I heard from people during the course of last year.
I wouldn't use the word beat up at all. The fact is that we didn't have an offensive lineman who could block Darnell on scout team when he was on scout team last year, especially if it was a pass situation. He's got incredible strength. He's got great quickness and speed. He's got an incredible motor and drive and desire to succeed and get to the quarterback when he's rushing. And our offensive linemen will tell you, and maybe they have, Matt, they couldn't block him.
They did tell me that last year, which I've been looking forward to having you come on and talk things over. You know, your numbers so far this year, Darnell, I think impressive for the position that you play. 5.5 tackles for loss, 2 of those sacks that took place during the course of last week. Was it a little frustrating, though, for you to have to wait until week 5 to actually get that sack? Because in your position, at least, you could have a great game but not have a sack or a tackle, but really play fantastic and cause all kinds of pressures and make all kinds of problems for the opposition team. But probably for a defensive end, unless you get that sack during the course of a game, you're almost like, well, I played good, but I didn't get any sacks, right? Is that how it usually works?
It definitely how it works. It's like it's the offensive player's touchdown. You know, that's the one stat that everybody usually knows from a defensive standpoint. You know, you hear from fans, oh, he had a sack. That's a great game. All they know is a sack, but, you know, it was fun, though. I don't know. That's cool.
Well, he broke out last week at Columbia. He had a terrific day, and as you mentioned, Matt, the 2 sacks, the interception that I want to say made a great play on the interception. I don't know if it just fell into his hands or he didn't even knew it was thrown, but it's a good way for Darnell to break out, and we're looking for him to continue that way. performance all the way through.
Last 2 weeks defensively, the team has really come together, I feel like. You know, talk about just things on the ground and some numbers that pop out. The 55 yards that Holy Cross ran for you guys after putting up over 400 against Central Connecticut State. So the run defense kind of packed everything in the front seven. This week it was more the pass rush that kind of came to the fold a little bit. Do you feel like each and every week the team is making that progression to get better?
Definitely. Practice, we've changed a lot of things that we've done on the defensive side of practice. You know, we finish plays a lot more. Our defensive line coach, he really presses us to get to the ball, everybody, even if the tackle's already been made. So that really helped us a lot the last few weeks, just rallying to the ball and making sure everybody's there doing their job. So I think, like, in the next few weeks, like, as we keep progressing and doing those little small things in practice, they'll really help out to pay out in the game.
What's the biggest change that someone who, again, came from a pretty heralded high school career? I know you had great recognition after your senior season. You played in the Maryland All-Star game, the Crab Bowl, which I hope they at least gave you some good soup afterwards to enjoy after the game. But is it just that speed of game? Is it for you, who's not overly big? You know, I mean, you're good size, 225, 230 pounds. But when you, like you said, you're going against guys who might be 280 to 320, that's a pretty big difference. I mean, in some cases, you're giving away 60 to almost 100 pounds. Is that the thing that kind of worries you going in week in and week out, that you're just taking a physical pounding, not that you can't and haven't withstood it, but just going against bigger guys all the time?
You know, I mean, size doesn't really mean a lot to me, because I know what I'm capable of doing against guys that are bigger than me, because I've done it a lot throughout the last year, so I know kind of what I'm capable of doing. So, I mean, just week in and week out, my nervousness just comes from doing my job and making sure I'm in the right spot at the right time and not messing up. So size doesn't really affect me that much.
How much has it helped you to have the guys that last year and this year you've been able to work against on the Monmouth offensive line? You know, you think about the experience that's been there last year and now this year again, you know, especially at your spot on the end, you've got two fifth-year tackles that you're kind of working against every day in practice and all during preseason. I would imagine that if you feel like you can compete against those guys, you should be able to compete against anybody on the schedule.
Definitely. That's how I see it. You know, I went up against Brandon Maxwell all throughout camp, and he's a great tackle. He's powerful, strong, big, fast for his size. And, you know, it was a good learning experience to go against him and really see how I matched up against tackles of his caliber and his size.
Is this humble night tonight? I mean, I'm waiting for you to say, like, I destroy these guys in practice. The fifth-year senior guys, they're good, but they can't block me.
Definitely. I won't say that. I mean, they're great. They're great. I make my plays. They make theirs. So that's really all that I can say about that one.
Talk about the relationship that is starting to develop, and even if there is one among the defensive line, because there are so many guys that work themselves into the rotation. You know, you had the great game this past week. So did Pat O'Hara. Now all of a sudden it's one on one end and one on the other. There almost can't be an offensive line unless they're going to keep seven guys in. You can't double everybody if you're getting that consistent pass rush. To have everyone now participating makes you guys a pretty dominant unit up front.
Definitely. The relationship between all of us is great now. We got a lot of guys coming back next year. We're only using, like, one, I think, maybe. And it's great. So the competition is fun between all of us. You know, when I got my sack, Pat looked at me and said, "Now I got to get one." And he got his. I said, "Now I got to get two." And he got his second one. So it's great. It's a great feeling to have.
Two sacks overall on the day for you, which was fantastic. What's more fun, to look up at the end of the day and say, "I got the two sacks," or, as coach said, "I got this interception"? You know, for you, that you said that's like scoring a touchdown, yeah, getting a sack. But getting an interception as a defensive lineman, that's almost like something extra a little bit, right?
I'd say the pick is a little bit more exciting, because I've gotten sacks all through high school. So, I mean, that's nothing really new to me. But
was that your first ever interception?
Yeah.
Wow.
First ever. So that was a big thing for me.
Pretty good. Looking forward now, obviously, to pushing ahead. What do you think the defensive unit, at least, needs to continue to improve on to keep getting better? Because right now, you guys are on this nice little trek up the mountain a little bit. I'm sure the last thing you want to do is either level off or take a step backwards.
Right. I would say, from at least a defensive line standpoint, just continuing the pass rush and running to the ball and making sure we all finish our plays and getting off blocks and doing what we have to do. And from the linebacker and DB perspective, I would just say, just continue to cover. Give us more time and make it harder for the wideouts to get their passes and catches off, and quarterbacks as well.
I think what our defense is starting to see, Matt, is how the whole thing works together. You know, you get great pressure up front, it makes it easier to cover. You do a good job covering, it makes it easier to get the quarterback on the ground and keep him in the pocket. And we're really starting to play in these last few weeks is a complete defense. A little bit earlier on in the year, say, let's say down at Liberty, I thought our defensive front did an excellent job. We really controlled a very good run game. We gave up some big plays in the pass game on the back end. We've kind of got those things corrected now, and now you're starting to see the full thing come together. And when we can do a good job in our coverage and we can let the front four turn loose and the linebackers are making tackles in the run game, that's when you're going to see the highest level of defense.
Darnell, it was a lot of fun to watch you play the last couple of weeks. Looking forward to seeing it continue. Thanks for coming on the show tonight. Continued success. You have made the transition, I'll be the first to tell you, from high school to now being a full-fledged defensive end in college. So keep it going. Hopefully we'll get three in a row on Saturday. Thanks for coming on tonight.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Darnell. Good job.
Sophomore defensive end Darnell Leslie, who had a couple of sacks and interception and a fumble recovery in Mama's win over Columbia the other day. Let's step out of here. We'll take a quick 60-second timeout. When we come back, hopefully joined by head coach of Robert Morris, Joe Walton, all after this quick break. You're listening to the Kevin Callahan Mama Football Show on the Shore Sports Network. Back here from Jack's Goal Line Stand in the West End. Final interview of the night, and we've had two great ones so far with Thaddeus Richards and with Darnell Leslie. Looking forward to this one as one of the classiest guys, certainly in college football, giving us a few minutes as for the 19th time in the series and the last time in his career between the Colonials and Monmouth, the head coach of Robert Morris, Joe Walton, will take on MU. Coach, it's Matt Harmon and Coach Callahan here on a Tuesday night in New Jersey. Want to thank you for coming on. How are you this evening?
I'm very good, thank you. And hello, Kevin.
Joe, how are you?
I was going to ask you if you would that I was doing a paper for my college degree, and I was wondering if you would send me a game plan. So that I could
Coach, I'll send you one, but it'll be from a game maybe 10 years ago. How's that?
Okay.
You'll have something, though, on your way. We'll fax it right after the show. Coach, obviously, this has been a long-time rivalry between the two schools, again going all the way back to 1994. Short of 1 year in 2001, the schools have played every single season. So 19 out of the 20 years that you have been the head coach, Monmouth and Robert Morris will have matched up. And when you go back in kind of the annals of the NEC, 5 conference championships for Monmouth and 6 for Robert Morris, obviously hoping to make it 7 this year. It really has been one of the highlight matchups since the NEC started football.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. One of the things that you know, has been kind of rewarding is the kind of friendly rivalry that we've had, you know, my association with Kevin has been great. We're rivals and yet we're friends. So I think that's the way college football should be, and I think he has a great program, and it's been an awesome time for me, and I'm looking forward to another great day against his team, and it's always a tough ball game.
Well, Coach, it always is a tough ball game, and you know, going back to that first game in 1994, when it was, I believe it was your first year of football at Robert Morris and our second at Monmouth, and I think we've both grown together, but I can say I've always enjoyed, you know, our games with Robert Morris. I've always enjoyed visiting with you prior to the game and after the game and in the off season. It's been my pleasure to have coached against you. And now I've got one of your former players on our staff here at Monmouth, one Sam Dorsett, and you should be very proud of him. He's doing a terrific job, Coach.
Well, I've been proud of him myself for a long time. He's very classy young man, and I knew he was going to add to your staff, and that makes me proud. I'm sure you're the same way. Some of the graduate assistants that have got jobs and you know, moved on and done well, and it's part of, you know, part of the the revolving football coaching thing.
Coach Coach Joe Walton giving us a few minutes here on the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show. You know, Coach, at least for me, I've got so many things to kind of ask you about. I'll try and get as many of in as we can. I'd be remiss, I think, if we didn't at least jump right into the fact that you last year had announced that this would be your final season, as you will step away from at least coaching on the field and continue your relationship, obviously, with the athletic department at Robert Morris. As you kind of go through this last year, have you already had that realization, like you're getting close to have it be your last game, or you haven't really started thinking about that yet?
No, you know, I've been asked this many times, and to me, this year is just like, you know, been business as usual. I'm doing the same things, and I don't think the realization will come to me until next spring, when I'm not there in spring football, and of course, next fall. I think Kevin will get a kick out of this. We figured out this year that starting with my sophomore year in high school, that was the first training camp I ever went to. This was my 62nd training camp. So I've been going to training camp for a lot of years.
That is a long time.
That's a long time. So
to be involved.
In one of those training camps, actually, back in the days when you were with the Giants, was right here at Monmouth, wasn't it, Coach?
Well, yes, it was. As a matter of fact, I was just telling my wife that I actually started my coaching career at Monmouth because Alex Webster made me the receiver coach, and my first training camp with the Giants was at Monmouth University. So I go way back with Monmouth. I sure do.
Coach, if you don't mind, talk about your road to Robert Morris, which is pretty unique. And I'm sure all the local fans here remember you from your association with the Jets as a head coach in the 80s, but as you just mentioned, an association with the Giants in the late 60s and early 70s. But you're really a Pittsburgh guy at heart, you know, being a two-time All-American at the University of Pittsburgh as a tight end. And then leaving football actually for a little while, which to me was something that I hadn't really spent a whole lot of time thinking about. But you, after Chuck Knoll, when you were with the Steelers as the offensive coordinator, after he had retired in 1991, you went into the moving business before then going back to Robert Morris. Do you mind if I ask what led you back into football after stepping away for a couple years?
Well, you know, it was a strange time in my life because I had come back home. I was very comfortable being back home. My first wife was very ill, and she battled cancer for quite a few years, and so I didn't really want to leave Pittsburgh. And so what I did was decided that I'd retire and go. I went into the moving business, but I had been in the moving business in New York, and so I knew the business very well. And then the Robert Morris thing came up, which I only lived 25 minutes from the campus, and it was my chance to stay in Pittsburgh, and I was excited about seeing if I could coach college kids. You know, I had always coached pro, and I didn't know whether I could do it or not. You know, and I don't have the patience Kevin has.
You know,
go ahead.
No, I'm sorry, Coach. You can finish.
No, I was just saying that it seemed like an exciting thing to do. And, you know, I didn't know how long I was going to do it or, you know, what was going to take place. And once I started at Robert Morris and, got to know the people at the college and competed in the that, you know, against, you know, good teams and good programs. I thought to myself, it's not as much money, but it sure is a lot more fun.
You know, Coach, as you look back,
I've had a great time.
As you look back on it, we mentioned six NEC titles, two mid-major national championships, and two ECAC wins in those old-time games as well. Are you surprised that you have been there for 20 years now as you kind of look back on it? As you said, when you started, you didn't know how long you were going to be there, this birth of a new program. But now 20 years later, you're still going at it each and every Saturday.
Well, you know what? I enjoy it so much. I remember when I first started, what I was impressed with is how much the kids want to learn, how much they want to play, and how much they enjoy it. And it was very refreshing. And I just fell in love with the kids and their enthusiasm. And I made up my mind after a few years. I'm never going to leave because I'm enjoying it too much. It was a wonderful thing.
Coach, before we let you go, just a minute or two on this year's edition of Robert Morris. It's been an up-and-down year for you so far. Loss, win. 2-2 coming into this one. And I know last week's game down at VMI in Lexington was certainly a thriller, 37-31, double overtime win for you guys. So at least you even that record coming into West Long Branch on this Saturday. But a little bit different kind of feel to the team maybe than years past with a new quarterback. I know Jeff Sinclair no longer there anymore. So probably some growing pains over the first couple of weeks.
Yeah, you know, he's a great kid. He's a transfer from Penn State, and you know, it's hard. It takes a little time, and I'm starting to feel like I wish I had a couple more years with him. You know, because he's starting to do things better, but it's kind of fun, and I'm glad that this and we have a lot of you know, good young kids that are coming on, and Coach Banaszak is gonna. I think I'm gonna leave him in pretty good shape.
Well, I'm sure that's really important to you, as has been kind of this new birth of football in the Pittsburgh area, because you have your roots there. I want to thank you so much for giving us a few minutes here tonight and taking time as you get ready for one more trip to the Jersey Shore. Head coach Joe Walton of Robert Morris. We'll see you on Saturday, Coach, and best of luck, obviously, for the rest of the season this year in your last one, and all endeavors moving forward when you step away from the game at the end of the year.
Certainly, I appreciate it, and I'm glad I have one more chance to get a hug from Kevin and talk to him. And I'll see you Saturday, Kevin, and we'll have a great time like we always do.
We always do, Coach, and thank you so much. And I too look forward to seeing you. It always means a lot to me.
Thank you very much,
Coach. Thanks so much. We'll see you on Saturday.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
That's Joe Walton, the longtime, now in his 20th year, the head coach of Robert Morris. We're kind of pushed for time here, Coach, but there are so many similarities when you think about it. And I know we didn't spend a whole lot of time talking about X's and O's there, because I felt like this was one X's and O's didn't really do justice to having him on to talk for a few minutes. But so many similarities between the Monmouth program and the Robert Morris program. Monmouth starting in 93, Robert Morris in 94. I mentioned the six NEC titles for them, the five NEC championships for you and Monmouth, and then just this, you know, again, this rivalry that has kind of existed over the years of these two teams kind of carrying the banner for NEC football for a long time.
Well, in the previous 18 meetings between the two teams, I think with a very few exceptions, it's always the same type of game. It's going to be a very physical, in-your-face, down-to-the-wire fourth quarter game. It's been like that the last three. It was like that the very first one in 1994 when We were behind by 4 points, and the game ended with the ball on the 1 foot line as we were going in to score, and we ran out of time. And I think that kind of set the tone for the type of series it was going to be, the type of rivalry we were going to have. And Coach Walton is such a great guy, and we've always gotten along very well with he and his staff. And he's somebody that I respect a tremendous amount.
Yeah, it'll be the last time that you two will match up in terms of head coaching matchup. Robert Morris with a 10-8 series lead overall. That game will kick off Saturday afternoon, 1 o'clock from Kessler Field. And just to close, you know, it's interesting in a week that you saw, really in a weekend, where you saw two major college coaches let go mid-season, Lane Kiffin from USC, Paul Pasqualoni now at UConn, that you've been at one place for 21 years and he's been at his place for 20 years. You just don't really see that a whole lot anymore. So, I can sense the sentiment that the two of you guys really do actually enjoy being longtime coaches and having played each other so many times in a row.
And I think that's certainly a big part of it. And, you know, one of the things, about the NEC that we used to be a member of is you've got, Coach Walton's been there for 19 years. I've been here for 21 years. Coach Ford had been up at Albany for 35 years. And Coach Hamline had been at Wagner for 34 years. So there was a lot of continuity within that conference. I think that's why, we developed such great rivalries and great relationships with each other.
But respect and I hate to say friends, but friends, really,
friends.
In a way, right?
Friends.
I mean,
without a doubt.
Part of that coaching fraternity that exists, which is a big part of it. Coach, real quick before we sign off here on the game, we didn't really save a whole lot of time about it. What I'll say to people, if you want to know how the game's going to go, show up on Saturday, and you can fill Kessler Field for one of four home games this year with only three remaining opportunities. But this is a Robert Morris team, as I had mentioned, 2-2 coming in. They've had two probably tough losses, but two pretty decent wins, especially last week's against VMI.
Last week's was a great win for them. It was a game in which they trailed in the fourth quarter. They had to come from behind to tie it on their last possession of the game. And then in overtime prevailed 37-31. It looks like they're getting back to what Robert Morris football is. They ran the ball fairly well. And as you mentioned when you were talking with Coach Walton, the quarterback Jones is really starting to hit his stride. It looks like he's developing a very firm grasp of Coach Walton's offense. He's making the right throws. It looks like he's making the right decisions. And when you combine a quarterback that can get the ball to some talented receivers with a good running game and a very attacking style of defense, heavy blitz-oriented defense that Robert Morris employs, we know we're going to be in for a heck of a ball game.
Is it different moving into these games? I know the preparation isn't different and the focus on the game isn't different, but as we're kind of moving into the second part of the schedule, will it be different playing some of these teams and not having be a league game anymore?
I haven't really thought about it that way, Matt. I mean, we're playing Robert Morris because they're Robert Morris, and we're going to prepare for them just the way that we always did. You know, the result won't affect us in terms of league standings. It won't affect them in terms of league standings, but it's still Monmouth against Robert Morris or Monmouth against Wagner or Monmouth against whomever else we're going to play. And I think there's a certain familiarity within our program with these teams we're going to be playing, but the opposite is also true. They have a very high level of familiarity with us, and I think we're going to see the same type games that we saw when we were in the same conference together.
Should be a lot of fun on Saturday afternoon. Again, go to GoMUHawks.com for the latest ticket information. Hopefully we will see Kessler Field on what looks like it's going to be an amazing weather weekend. Great weather all through the course of the rest of the week. Monmouth and Robert Morris playing here in West Long Branch for the final time maybe in a while, right, Coach? We will have to go back out there in the next couple of seasons.
We will return with this game. This is a home-and-home series with Robert Morris. We will return this game next year, 2014, and then that may be the final game.
Yeah, so we'll look forward to having them in our place one more time as we thank our guests here tonight. Great job by our two student-athletes tonight, and it has been each and every week, but Thaddeus Richards and Darnell Leslie, extremely well-spoken tonight on the air, and, of course, Joe Walton, the head coach for Robert Morris. Coach, we'll do it again next Tuesday, looking to make 2 in a row, 3 in a row, and even that record of 3-3. Best of luck on Saturday.
Thanks, Matt. Appreciate it. Good job.
That is the head coach, Kevin Callahan. We step out here from Jack's Goal Line Stand in the West End. Couple minutes overtime. Our thanks to Ray Malaspina in the studios. Gary Kowal, Greg Ott, Greg Viscomi, and Eddie Acupinti here on site. Matt Harmon saying, So long from Jax. We'll do it again Tuesday from 7, 8 o'clock. Monmouth against Robert Morris Saturday afternoon from the Kessler Field Stadium. You've been listening to the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show on the Shore Sports Network.